The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Thank you. Tuning in, hanging out with Devil's Advocates. I am your host, Dominic Crudy, is out on vacation until Thursday, back in the studio on a Friday. Got Nate working the board, working the phones, working the sound for you. Thank you, Nate. Of course, our fair audience. Always appreciate it when you join us on the lines at 844-967-2789. Got a fun show coming up for you today. Angela Lang, the executive director of Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Angela's going to come on at 4:30. This Robert Spindel issue continues to haunt us. Of course, Bob Spindel, one of the fraudulent false electors here in the state of Wisconsin, also a member of the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission, appointed by, I believe, Devin LeMahieu, as we affectionately refer to as LeMahieu. Got to get that guy off, man. Got to get him off of that commission. He does not belong there. It is not a spot for a fraudulent elector who had to admit in their civil case, when they finally got this thing dropped, that their actions were part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results. Now, if you're signing your name to a document that admits to that, perhaps, and I'm just throwing this out there, and Angelo and I will discuss with you, perhaps you do not deserve the privilege of serving the Wisconsin citizens, the Wisconsin voters on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. That bothers me very much. I reached out to Angelo last night after this conversation. A big meeting, I believe it was on Monday night, with Block and others talking about this. This is not going to go away, and I think we need to continue to beat this drum and get some action. Robert Spindel, Bob Spindel, does not deserve to be there. So, Angela Lang from Block at 4:30. Look forward to getting Angela back on the phones with us. Also, elections yesterday. Did anyone go vote? Did you go vote? I hope you did. We always encourage civic engagement, encourage people to get out there and go vote. And we did promise we'd look over some of the results from yesterday. But my biggest takeaway, and Nate, thank you for pointing this out to me, it looks like this time around, Milwaukee had more people out voting than Madison. Is that a possibility? Some of the top line numbers from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Here's one I like. Turnout in Milwaukee was around 11%, 11.47%, according to the Milwaukee Elections Commission. About 31,000 ballots cast in the spring primary out of 270,000 registered voters. Now, in Dane County, Nate, we're going 11% here in Milwaukee. Dane County, apparently 7.9%. Hell, we'll round it up to 8%. Oh, Crudy, we're here. We'd rub it in a little bit. Now, granted, we had, you know, different elections going on. We had a mayoral election here in the city of Milwaukee. Kevler Johnson just smoking through everybody. I believe he got about 82% of the vote. He's going to face off against the God Squad guy. I don't have his name in front of me, but I think David King, he got about 10% of the vote. So it's going to be David King versus Cavalier Johnson here in the city of Milwaukee. So 11%, we'll take what we can get, I guess. It is what it is, but the good news is we beat Madison. And Madison, Dane County, man, you folks have been carrying this state for so long, and I hope it's just a reflection of the, you know, varied elections that were available to be voted on and not the sentiment because I know it can get a little hard out there dealing with it every single day. I say self-governance, it's hard. Self-governance is hard. Also, in the second hour today, Donald Trump in Greenville, South Carolina, on the Foxy News, getting a little help from the town hall moderator from Fox News last night. Have some very interesting, disturbing, of course it's disturbing, as Donald Trump sound. And I think we need to continue to eat our broccoli and realize what's at stake if this guy ever gets to the White House. Again, we're going to get to some of that as well. Yesterday, we brought up the fact Senator Tammy Baldwin, saw her on the MSNBC's last night. Senator Baldwin finally has a Republican challenger, Eric Hovde. And I thought it was just very strange yesterday when we played the sound. And then I was like, well, maybe we were right. I tried to qualify what I was hearing from this ad from Hovde. It doesn't mention the state of Wisconsin. It's not even in there. I mean, you wouldn't really even know that he's talking about the state of Wisconsin. Nate, let's throw that one out there once again. And I want to get to this article by Ruth Conniff from the Wisconsin Examiner. Kind of lighten him up, articulating perhaps what I'm failing to do sometimes about his weirdly lackluster Senate bid. But let's recap. Eric Hovde, the Republicans, the NRSC, these are boys. He's got lots of money. Apparently going to perhaps tap into $20 million of his own money. He's going to get some of that Republican national money. They're coming to the state of Wisconsin. They're going after Tammy Baldwin. Nate, if you would, let's hear what Hovde said yesterday when he dropped his brand new lackluster Senate bid ad.
Do you feel like America is slipping away? Our country is facing enormous challenges. Our economy, our health care, crime, and open borders. Everything is going in the wrong direction. All Washington does is divide us and talk about who's to blame. And nothing gets done. That's not the country I know and love. I'm Eric Hovde. I'm running for the U.S. Senate. And I approve this message because I believe we need to come together and find common sense solutions to restore America.
Restore America? How about Wisconsin? Where's Wisconsin? You know you're running for Senate in Wisconsin, right? Don't you think? And call me crazy here. If you want to get the voters of Wisconsin to vote for you, you might want to mention Wisconsin. So I thought it was strange. And when we were talking about it yesterday, I just kind of kept qualifying. Well, from what we heard, from what I heard, and maybe it was a different cut. Maybe there's a longer, rollout ad that mentions Wisconsin. No, not really. Not really. The Wisconsin Examiner, wisconsinexaminer.com, our pal Ruth Conniff, writing over there, Hovde's weirdly lackluster Senate bid. Let's jump into this because I think this is going to be with us for a while. And Ruth Conniff has a great pitch on this. As Ruth writes, the most significant statewide race of 2024, apart from the presidential contest in our teetering swing state, began taking shape Tuesday when multimillionaire Eric Hovde made his much-anticipated announcement that he intends to challenge incumbent Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin. Hovde, the favorite of Wisconsin Republicans' establishment, took a long time to make up his mind about running. In his announcement speech in Madison on Tuesday, it was not at all clear that his heart is in it. Why would you want that crappy job? You already got all the money you want, right? Service, I guess. Ruth continues. Assembled friends, family, and supporters waited, listening to an acoustic guitar soundtrack for 20 minutes past the announced start time at the Hovde Building in downtown Madison before Hovde's brother Steve came on stage to introduce him, emphasizing that the family does, in fact, hail from Wisconsin. Hovde looking like Tom Selleck with his thick mustache and unbuttoned shirt. Is that a Hawaiian shirt? Delivered a boilerplate speech invoking the American dream and Ronald Reagan that drew a few brief smatterings of polite applause. He delivered no zingers, gave no indication why he's running besides the requisite quote, "I love my country," and a few jabs at the Biden administration for withdrawing from Afghanistan and driving up the national debt. Now, to be fair, the campaign was likely reeling from a barrage of bad news in the run-up to the announcement. Steve Hovde's reassurances that his brother grew up in Madison and bleeds Wisconsin Badger Red, and Green Bay Packers, seemed designed to deflect recent news that reinforced Hovde's image as an out-of-state millionaire dabbling in Wisconsin politics. We got to get that a lot around here. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported Tuesday on Hovde's transfer of his $2.3 million home in Washington, D.C. to a family trust that his brother Steve manages. Hovde also owns a $7 million mansion in Laguna Beach, California. We talked about that. The California house, as Dan Bice pointed out, worth more than three times what he paid for his suburban Madison home on the shores of Lake Mendota, beautiful lake. Bice also notes that Hovde, who has a spotty voting record, well, he can't blame us all there, man. Some of us, you know, you miss sometimes. Apparently, Hovde's got a spotty voting record, voted absentee from California in the 2023 spring Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Democrats gleefully refer to him as California bank owner Eric Hovde, Republican from Laguna Beach. But the biggest blow to Hovde's announcement Monday came from the Hovde campaign itself, which launched an inaugural campaign ad yesterday in which Hovde fails to make even a passing reference to the state of Wisconsin. So it wasn't me, Nate. I thought I was missing it. As Ruth Connor from the Wisconsin Examiner points out, the inaugural campaign ad yesterday fails to make even a passing reference to the state of Wisconsin. After hastily regrouping, the campaign did not have time to rethink the theme music for Hovde's announcement. After his brother finished naming Wisconsin sports teams, Hovde bounded on stage to the tune of Life is a Highway. Not the ideal jingle for someone trying to shake off the image of a carpetbagger. What, no carpetbagger songs? The creaky start to the Hovde Senate bid seems like a reflection of a candidate who needed a lot of persuasion to run and finally convinced himself to leave his Laguna Beach mansion on the strength of his conviction that, as he put it, everywhere I look today in my country, I see it failing. And that he is the man to fix it. I thought Trump was the man to fix it. In his announcement speech, Hovde sounded like he was running for president against Joe Biden. He wants to defend the American dream and freedom and liberty. He's alarmed by the decline in the domestic security, which he blames on the defund the police movement and an influx of immigrants at the southern border. He wants to do something about the national debt and inflation, which he says is hammering our middle and working class and our elderly who live on fixed incomes. And most importantly to me, Hovde, we're leaving our children and great-grandchildren saddled with all this debt, not leaving them better off. Hard to imagine that concern for the financial security of the Hovde children is what propelled their mega millionaire dad to run for U.S. Senate. Ruth Conniff over at the Wisconsin Examiner. There is more. I'd suggest you go read it. Put it up on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Hovde, man. Wisconsin, no boilerplate, man. I mean, act like you really want the job. I know it's going to pay you less than what you're making doing the banking thing, but at least pretend. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocate. Stick around. Angela Lang, Executive Director from Block, going to come up at the bottom of the hour. Your call's next, 844-96-PARTY.
I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling Devil's Advocates.
And we're back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy hump day to us all. As mentioned, Angela Lang, Executive Director from Block, Black Leaders Organizing for Community, is going to join us at 4:30 to talk about the fraudulent Wisconsin Elections Committee member. He was just talking about Hovde. And of course, over the break, I hear the commercials. Oh, Hovde this and Hovde that. Ladies and gentlemen, it is officially on. I mean, the guy announced yesterday and those ads already dropping. Well done, everyone. Also, the security footprint for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee has been released. Now, I get it that everyone is, you know, right up the street from where this is going to be. I'm over, you know, in a secret location on Brady Street, buying the Roman coin. And the good news is we are outside of the zone. It's going to be a pretty big zone. The swath of downtown Milwaukee from the area from the Milwaukee River to the interstate expected to experience increased security during the RNC, according to Allison Durr and Hope Carnop at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee Mayor Kevler Johnson and the U.S. Secret Service on Wednesday released the map. Release the map! It's on the Devil's Advocates Facebook page. Go look at the map if you care. Of the area that extends a couple of blocks in each direction from the main RNC venues of the Fiserv Forum, the UW Milwaukee Panther Arena, and the Baird Center. It's lacking a little bit, though, folks, I got to tell you. As noted, it does not detail street closures or checkpoints that will be in place. What it does show, though, is the likely area that'll be impacted in some way, the mayor said. I also launched a webpage where you can find more information on this. When plans are finalized, officials will share more information about the multi-layered buffer that will be in place in the area. Of course, the RNC coming here July 15th through the 19th. I'm torn, obviously. Love to showcase this wonderful city that is Milwaukee. Not so eager for the Blood Tribe Nazis to be come marching through the streets. And perhaps, you know, this is the same crew that was in Nashville recently, and I think it's the same crew that was down in Madison not so long ago. But that's the kind of folks that are gonna be presumably coming here to the great city of Milwaukee. And given that the security zone is going to be fairly large on both sides of the river, a couple of blocks both ways, and Crude and I, we went to the RNC in Cleveland. And it's kind of tough because for those folks that are inside of the security zone, it's a little tough for business. We talked to some of the business owners, obviously, you know, hanging out at the bars and the restaurants on the inside of that zone. Pardon me. Not great business for them as they told us. Now, I know there's statistics and numbers and people do studies on whether these are worth it or not. You know, you can take it and leave it. What's the reality on the ground? Well, if you're a business and you're on the inside of that gate, and anyone's going to be able to get inside that fence has to be credentialed or approved in some way, shape or form, you can probably assume that business is going to be a little bit slower, but overall another 50,000 people ish coming to Milwaukee, and that is going to be a good thing. Now, the quality of the human beings here, hopefully everyone will be nice and get along, and no, but I'm not clear. I mean, we see what's happening. We see how Donald Trump and the megas treat anyone who goes up against Donald Trump. There's only one left. Nikki Haley is the last one standing. And so what happens when that convention comes to Milwaukee? Is Nikki still in it? Is anyone in it? What happens with these trials, these cases? Could there be a conviction prior to? There's lots of unknowns, but we are starting to get some clarity. The security map has been released. Again, you can find that on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page as well. 844-967-2789. A few of the issues here, a security perimeter will be multi-layered, will include law enforcement officers, physical barriers, and checkpoints. When will the security measures within this area be in place for the convention? We don't know. We don't have a number on that yet. Will residents and businesses in the security footprint have access to their property? According to the article, the U.S. Secret Service has begun reaching out to people who live and operate businesses within the perimeter to develop a security plan that minimizes impacts to the public. You'll have access. Maybe your customers won't, though. Road closures, parking restrictions, marked checkpoints that could impact the public, including people visiting businesses, will be shared through the more comprehensive map. Also planned for mail trash and whatnot. Traffic around the RNC also to be released later. It sounds like traffic disruptions are likely, but the city website said law enforcement will make every effort to anticipate and minimize any disruptions while still creating a safe and secure environment for all. I'll feel a whole lot safer and more secure if the Nazis don't come to Milwaukee. You can stay in Illinois. We hate Illinois Nazis. 844-967-2789. Cam from Neenah, Wisconsin. Happy days, Cam. What do you got for us?
I think it was about 12 years ago, July. It'll be the quote-unquote anniversary of this interview that Eric, the challenger to Tammy, had. He had an interview with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he said, and he repeated this over and over and over when he was running, when he ran for Senate then, if you're under 50, you're going to add 2 years to retirement age. If you're under 40, you're going to add two more years. And if you're under 30, you're probably going to have to add another year. So he really, really is wanting to increase the retirement age. I want to ask any of the conservatives out there that are listening, why would you vote for someone that lives in a completely different reality? This guy does not live your day-to-day life. He is a banker. He has so much money. He probably has never shopped for his own groceries. Why would you vote for him? Just to spite the Dems that, oh, you really owned us by making your whole life suck.
Cam, it's hard to understand. You know, my impression, man, is some folks want to, it's aspirational voting. You know, like someday if I become a billionaire, I don't want to be taxed at 60 or 70% when I become a billionaire. Well, of course, you're not going to become a billionaire. It's never going to apply to you. You know, the tax breaks that we've provided over the course of my lifetime has generated tens of trillions of dollars in national debt. I mean, it continues to accumulate. So why would we vote for someone who really has no sense of what it's really like, you know, lower to middle income wage earners getting up and, you know, showering after you go to work kind of folks, right? Well, I think all you gotta do is look at a guy like Donald Trump. Why did we elect Donald Trump? The answer lies in the same answer lies. Why do we elect Donald Trump? Why do we want someone like Hovde? They don't reflect our upbringing. You know what I mean? Everyday folks, man, if you ever go through a financial struggle in your life, ever have a check bounced, right? You know what I'm saying? Ever get kicked out of somewhere, ever have a hard time paying the rent? I'm not saying that perhaps Hovde, I don't know his entirety of his background, but apparently the real estate company started by his grandfather. So, okay, there's work to be done. Perhaps some of it was earned. Guy owns a bank, making lots of money. Good for him. How is that going to impact his decision-making process as it pertains to, I don't know, my grandmother eating cat food? You know what I mean? I don't think it does reflect very well. We are the Devil's Advocates. Angela Lang, our friend, the executive director from BLOC, the Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. Organizing, that's what we're doing. We're going to organize, and we're going to continue to talk about this topic. The fraudulent Wisconsin Election Commission member, Bob Spindell, remains on that board. How is that even possible? The guy admitted in the civil court filings that their efforts were intentional as part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results. But as far as Republicans are concerned, I guess he's the guy for the job. Come back, Angela Lang from BLOC.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Super, super excited and happy to announce Angela Lang, executive director from BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, joining us now. Angela, it's been too long. Thank you for joining the Devil's Advocates.
Thanks for having me.
It is a pleasure. Angela, if some folks tuning in haven't heard, don't know what the story is, the mission of BLOC, how about just a quick rundown? What is it your organization does? What are you trying to do?
Yeah, so BLOC was established in November of 2017 in a way of a response to the 2016 election, but also due to some frustrations that people were blaming our community for that outcome. And we feel that we are some of the most least engaged and most disenfranchised, and we shouldn't have been the ones to blame. But we recognize that there was a hole in our community, so we wanted to make sure that we had a year-round civic engagement organization where we continue to be in the field, not just during election season, and really hire folks from the community to have those conversations.
Being disenfranchised and the subject of this topic today, Robert Spindell, one of the fraudulent electors, a member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, bragged not so long ago, Angela, about how the turnout in Milwaukee was down by, 20, 30,000 votes, and he was very happy about it. Got some criticism for it, and then went on to say, no white man has done more for the Black community than Robert Spindell. Let's address those very specific points from the commissioner, Angela, and then talk about what the meeting was about on Monday. So, Robert Spindell, apparently very happy for the disenfranchisement. Angela, your thoughts?
Yeah, so actually, after he said those comments, I wrote an op-ed for the recombobulation area, being able to call for his resignation last January after those comments, right? As a commissioner of the Wisconsin Election Commission, your job is to actually help administer elections. So to being proud that turnout was down in a historically marginalized and disenfranchised community just admitted that he wasn't doing his job. And folks have been calling for his resignation for quite some time. Shout out to my friend Nick Ramos, the executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, showed up to the last Wisconsin Election Commission meeting, said something similar, asked for his resignation, to which that's how he responded, that no other white Republican has done more for Black folks than him. And it was quite offensive, one, to brag about voter suppression. Two, if you actually are an ally to our community, you typically don't have to say those things. And three, to say that to, a man of color, a Black man in Black History Month, just kind of added to it. And so on Monday, after those comments, about a few days later, a little over a week later, a lot of our coalition partners came together and we held a rally, a Fire Bob rally, and we're going to be able to continue to ramp up the pressure and continue to call for his removal.
Nick Ramos, a fascinating human being as well. Appreciate all the allies we have out there. Angela, we want to do everything we can to support this. So to have an appointed commissioner reveling in the fact that turnout was down, so their side could do better, I guess, is beyond the pale. The other voting rights organizations, Bolsa de la Frontera, Mandel Barnes Group, your group, getting together. What is the practicality, Angela? My understanding, he was appointed, Spindell, by Devin Lemahieu. Is that where we need to apply the pressure? Is it Lemahieu? Is there a different process? What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I mean, as an organizer, I'm always a fan of multiple tactics at the same time. Lemahieu also said that he was not going to remove him, but that doesn't mean that we don't stop the pressure. I think also what Nick started in trying to appeal to Bob Spindell's more humanitarian type of nature, if these are the things that you're touting, really take a reflection of if you're actually doing your job effectively. We're hoping to have more notable folks with platforms. Stay tuned to continue to speak out about that as well. For us, we wanted to make sure that we were meeting what I said on our podcast recently with Nick, is that we're going to meet his level of boldness with the same level, right? It was just concerning, and just the sheer audacity to not only put the voter suppression efforts into an email, but then also to say these things to Nick and to continue to be a fake elector. At some point, you got to do some self-reflection and understand that you're actually not doing your job effectively, and understanding that to avoid legal challenges, he finally came around as a fake elector and said that Donald Trump did indeed lose the election, not because he suddenly had a change of heart, but because of those legal challenges. But for us, we know that we're going to continue to organize and to escalate, and hopefully he'll understand that for the health of our state and our democracy, he'll step aside.
Angela Lang, executive director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. I remain eternally hopeful, Angela, but I highly doubt that's ever going to happen. I mean, literally, as part of the civil lawsuit that they settled, they had to admit that their actions were part of an attempt to improperly overturn the 2020 presidential election results. I mean, that is the antithesis of what the mission of the Wisconsin Elections Commission is.
Yes, and that's why we feel so strongly, right? Someone that is trying to undermine our elections, but also undermine the will of the voters, the same voters that he bragged about being suppressed in recent elections. It just goes to show that he is hopefully not qualified to do his job. I don't want to get into some details because we're still planning, but our coalition, we're pretty fired up. And as you know, my friend Nick said, kind of awakened a sleeping giant. The fact that we had a packed house on a Monday, the night before an election day, which is technically a holiday with President's Day, show up and say, yes, we want to make sure that we're continuing to make our voices heard. And I will say, if anybody else wants to get involved and to support as well, there is a handy website called firebob.com where you can sign a petition. And you can send a letter to your representatives urging for him to resign and or be removed.
Firebob.com. Angela, of course, we here at Devil's Advocates want to help in any way we can to amplify this. This is absolutely unacceptable in any way, shape, or form that an elections official charged with administering good elections would be out there, you know, finally under pressure and settlement, admitting that they were trying to overturn the election. Angela, you mentioned as the origin story for Black, you know, the Black and Latino community got a lot of slack for what Hillary's loss, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. You know, here we go again. You know, I mean, it seems it's never stops, Angela, right? There's a constant self-governance is an ongoing thing. And we have an election coming up this year. We've got the RNC, you know, you just got the security map released today. How are you feeling? Do you feel like your community is being addressed? How is it this time compared to 2016 in your mind?
Yeah, you know, I will say just the current state of the world, it's kind of hard to feel hopeful sometimes. There's always something changing, especially in our political landscape and even internationally as well. And I think that is at the forefront of a lot of folks' minds. I will say that there's a lot of discussion, right? In 2016, it was kind of quiet. We were waiting for that buzz, that those conversations to start, and they never really came. Whether folks are excited about Biden or, you know, are kind of over this 2020 rematch or not, I'm really encouraged that we're having the conversations. We're having the nuanced discourse that I think we need. We're having the big conversations about what harm reduction is. Even if you're not a fan of Biden, why showing up for democracy is important in this moment and being able to talk about history as well as the future and how we got here. So I'm encouraged that there's folks having those conversations, but I would also say I'm incredibly worried about my city. I'm worried about Milwaukee. I'm worried about Kenosha when it comes to hosting the RNC. I know the security plans dropped earlier today and there's an FAQ page, which we'll be digging into. But just knowing that the RNC invites people like Kyle Rittenhouse and white nationalists, this just doesn't feel safe for our community. So I'm always worried. It's actually going to be right around the anniversary of the Jacob Blake shooting. Kenosha is not far. Are they going to try and, you know, disturb folks in Kenosha as well? So, you know, it's a mixed bag. But I think with 2024 rapidly going through the year very quickly, I am a little hopeful in these dark times that people understand what's at stake and are actually going to show up.
Angela Lang, executive director from Black. The Republicans have apparently made some, you know, African-American outreach as part of their efforts. They do have an office here in the city of Milwaukee. And I know at times from some friends of mine in the Black community have talked about that. Even the Democrats seem to, you know, pop in during the election. And then does it really stay? Does the investment, the effort, the all these things, doesn't seem to be consistent. Every election is a new cycle. There's always new people. Do you feel like you're getting some love from the Democratic Party this time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've always said this about both parties, whether it's Democrat or Republican, that you can't just pop in a couple weeks or a couple months before an election and then just expect that folks are just going to show up automatically and vote for you. And I think the Democrats learned some valuable lessons in 2016, especially understanding that Hillary Clinton didn't step foot in the state after she lost the primary to Bernie Sanders. I think that was a very big lesson for folks, and to see the Democratic Party on the ground hosting events, having conversations and barbershops with electeds around local policy. I think that's something that folks understand and took away from 2016. Now, when it comes to Republicans, I get asked all the time about that office in the Brownsville area. Why are they here? Or when I drive by it or other people drive by it and they say, well, why are they here? I don't ever see anyone in there. There's not a lot of activity. So I'm curious of, you know, it's one thing to set up shop and to take that lesson to heart, but you gotta have it open. You have to embrace that neighborhood and hope that you're going to be embraced back. It's a beautiful, historic Black neighborhood. And I'm curious about how much outreach they've done just even on the same block that the office is in. It's more than just popping up an office and then never utilizing it.
Yeah. Great point. And again, if we refer back to Robert Spindell's opinion, I mean, their success is when Black and brown people don't show up up to vote. Vice President Kamala Harris out on the stump this week. The infrastructure bill, billions of dollars being allocated for different communities. The water, I think this is still an issue here in Milwaukee. What's your sense of how those kinds of funds can help the community here and address, you know, specifically the lead laterals, Angela?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been talking about the infrastructure bill the last couple of years when it was this first big debate and trying to add childcare as part of human infrastructure. And we had a lot of conversations on doors in our community about what that actually meant for our community and what we heard overwhelmingly was specifically getting rid of the lead laterals. A lot of times folks in our community don't feel that they are, you know, climate justice oriented or things like that. But I think one thing we can all agree on is being able to have access to safe and drinkable water in your tap and in your home. And one thing that I think is important too is that that also intersects with mass incarceration. If our young kids are drinking lead infested water, that sometimes can lead to behavioral issues where they act out, can get suspended. And the next thing you know, they're on the school to prison pipeline. And so I've said this to the vice president during one of her visits, and she agreed wholeheartedly. So we see that intersection. And I think people actually understand how some of these infrastructure policies, especially when it comes to getting rid of the lead laterals, directly impact them.
Angela, just a couple more minutes here. Lots of conversation regarding the age of the candidates this time around, and that these guys broke the age record that they themselves apparently set the last time around. Sure. How are you feeling about the? Are you motivated? Are you energized? Is this something that you're going to be able to be inspired about?
Yeah, I mean, especially when it comes to the age question, I think I'll be honest. Of course, I would want millennials and Gen Z running the country, to be honest with you. But that just kind of hasn't been our history, unfortunately. So I think this isn't a statement necessarily for Biden or Trump. It comes down to, I think, competency and wellness. And when you hear Donald Trump mixing up names of people, not being able to identify his wife in a deposition, you know, you start to wonder, is this should this person be the leader of the free world? I've heard some similar criticisms of President Biden, but those kind of slips ups and mishaps that I've seen are ones that I quite frankly would make at times, right? Like, it's hard to, you know, remember every detail from several years ago. And so I would want to cut President Biden a little bit of slack. It seems like he is a little bit more healthy mentally and physically. And if we should be worried about anyone's mental state, it should be Donald Trump's.
Biden certainly has much more character than yes. The former Angela Lane, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. If people want to get involved, find out more about your organization, where could they do so?
Yeah, so we have a website, blockbyblock.org, BLOCBYBLOC.org. And we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok at blockbyblockmke.
Angela Lang and the website. If you're tired of Bob Spindell, if you don't want a fraudulent elector in the Wisconsin Elections Commission, what's the website again?
Firebob.com. Can't forget it.
Firebob.com. Angela, thank you for joining us. You're welcome anytime. Please keep us informed, and we'll do what we can to help amplify.
Will do. Take care.
Angela Lang from Block. We are the Devil's Advocates. Coming back with your calls, 844-967-2789. Thanks, Angela.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Yeah, thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. I want to thank our most recent guest, Angela Lang, Executive Director of Black Leaders Organizing for Communities, blockbyblock.org. And I just checked out the firebob.com. It's fire-bob.com. Tell Majority Leader LeMahieu, remove Spindell now. Do it now. Thank you, Angela. And folks, I mean, this is to the basics. This is really what it comes down to. The guy admitted in their paperwork. Yep, we tried it. We were going to overthrow the election. I mean, it's like putting a bank robber on the bank board. You know what I'm saying? There's so many analogies you can put on how terrible and what an asinine idea this is. And the fact that LeMahieu or these Republicans will, what, continue to keep him there, which is essentially an endorsement of the man who says he's done more for Black communities than any other white person in history, or something along those lines, whatever insult the guy was out there saying. And thank you to Angela's point, Nick Ramos, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, showing up and pressing it. And I think we need to continue to do that. We need to engage with our friends and our allies on these very basic topics. We're talking about elections here. We're talking about what, people's right to vote, talking about self-governance. It doesn't get much more basic and down to earth and nitty gritty than voting. And when you have an election commissioner who's admitted that he was trying to subvert the election that he's there to, again, I can repeat myself over and over and over again. But if I do that and no action is taken, does that make me insane? So check out fire-bob.com. We'll put that up on our social medias as well. Thank you once again, Angela Lang, Block by Block, doing great work. Keep it up. We do appreciate it. We do appreciate you. 844-967-2789. Let's get some callers in. Mark from the SAC, you're up. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Yeah, thanks a lot. Yeah, Fire Bob. I mean, it's just ridiculous. He directly participated in the fake electors, which I would maintain is a direct violation of the 14th of the Constitution, you know, abridging the, our right to vote in any way, and attempting to change the results of our election of our electors is abridging our right to vote. And getting to Eric Hovde, the guy, did I hear correctly today? I think I've heard that he's got actually got a campaign office in California for his Wisconsin Senate campaign. I mean,
my understanding, Mark, specifically, according to the Wisconsin Examiner, Ruth Conniff, said that he voted absentee from California in the 2023 Supreme Court race. Man, he's got the California house, you know, worth more than the other one, but I don't know that he's actually running the campaign from there. But
well,
I mean,
714 area code number.
Who knows? I'm sorry, say that again, Mark.
They gave a 714 area code for his campaign office, and that certainly isn't a Wisconsin area code. it's something else.
It is something else. I mean, you think they'd be able to come up and find a local? Come on, a local Republican, man. You know, you gotta go for Hovde, the guy that lost. Or granted, he lost the primary, and then who was it? Tommy Thompson, I guess, lost to Tammy Baldwin at the time. This one, I need Crudy on the deets here. But the guy ran and lost once already, and I'm not sure that he's, you know, worked up his policy resume at all. Does he still believe all the same things that he believed back then? You know, the abortion issue is still a big issue. Of course, it should be. You're talking about people's, women specifically's right to but do with their own body as they see fit with their doctor. This is medical. This has nothing to do with you, Mr. Hovde, and that very, very fine mustache that you're sporting these days. I mean, I got to tell you, I'm a little torn by it because I am a huge fan of the old school Magnum PI. You know, I mean, that was just, to me as a kid, that was just glorious, you know? But I don't know, Hovde, the mustache is just a little much perhaps these days. 844-967-2789. I promise I'll shave sometime in the next few days. Back to the lines. Jim from Appleton. Welcome, Jim. You're up. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Directly to Spendell and my buddy Lema Hu. Why is it in 175 years, this is the first time that they have ever fired cabinet appointees without cause? And yet, Spendell stays on the election commission?
I see what you're doing there, Jim. Yeah. Amazing how that works, right? Well, of course, because isn't it an endorsement, Jim? And I hate to look at it this way, but if they don't do anything, they are essentially saying, well, this is okay, that we want this kind of behavior, that we want this kind of attitude, that we want our commissioners to engage in fraudulent activity. That's what they're saying. And Jim, can we just believe them when they say it, if they don't do anything to act?
Well, I guess we can believe it, but then what's their cause for firing the other appointees?
Well, because it's the other guy's team, man. They want to fire them. Don't worry about us. They want to do anything to you know, damage our own team. It's all politics and fire their team because, you know, they can't get along with the Republicans. That's why they fired Tony Evers' appointees, right? They're the ones that can't get along with the fraudulent electors. I don't know. This, the whole thing is just, it's beyond the pale. Thank you for the call, Jim. Here, when you go to fire-bob.com, you can stick in your number, your information, take action, sign the petition, and here's what you were signing. And I'm going to do this at the break. Dear Majority Leader Lemahieu, I encourage you to rescind the appointment of Commissioner Robert Spendell to the Wisconsin Election Commission, as he poses a unique threat to Wisconsin's elections as both a fake elector, I would say fraudulent, and member of the WEC. Spendell made it clear that he is willing to subvert the will of the people and undermine our democratic processes and institutions. Our election officials should be trusted stewards of our democracy, and as a fake elector, Spendell has broken that trust and undermined the sanctity of our elections. He should be replaced on the WEC by someone who places free and fair elections above partisanship and reflects the diversity of Wisconsin, particularly our historically marginalized communities. Sincerely, your information here. Submit. So please do it, folks. Let's do what we can. If all we can do is scream at the top of our lungs, then let's do it. This is an embarrassment. It's wrong. It's everything you could possibly think that it is in the wrong direction. And we have an opportunity. Hell, we have a duty. We have a duty to yell at the top of our lungs. We're not going to take it. This is not okay. Cannot have fraudulent people, election electors on the election commission. You see what I'm saying here, folks? Well, thank you for a little rant. Thank you, Angela Lang. Come back with us, the Devil's Advocates for the Happier Happy Hour. Got to get into some of the national news. Trump on the road in Greenville, South Carolina on the Foxes. That'll be fun. Join us.